You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick. Very glad to be joined by two new panelists. Tracking up from the upstate is Sean Williams of the band Archer vs. Gunmen. We've also got a familiar voice to these airwaves, Steve Blanton. You might know him from Saturday Night House Party. Also joining the panel is Renee Denton, our anchor for this time around, also coming from upstate South Carolina. And today we're talking about the blues. What It Is gets the blues with the 2011 Blues Music Awards. And coming up on May 5th in Memphis, Tennessee at the Cook Convention Center, we're going to have a whole heap in helping of the blues.
There are going to be a lot of meaningful awards handed out this year, I think. Lots of sentimental favorites, especially as concerns those who have passed on since the release of one notable album anyway, and that's Robin Rogers' record. She certainly is a sentimental favorite for female blues vocalist this year, and deservedly so.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take her passing to make her qualified to be a recipient of that award. Otherwise, I like the fact that some of the old-timers, as it were, are getting their dues. Nice to see Charlie Musselwhite's name included in the mix this year. And I'm glad to see, on the rock and blues side of things, Nick Moss, who has demonstrated over the last 4 or 5 years to be not only an adept musician and arranger, but he's got some pretty decent studio chops, too. I like the Kenny Wayne Shepherd record this year, the Live in Chicago. Now, granted, that's a more over-amplified type of blues. You know, it's kind of like Texas blues rock after Stevie Ray, I suppose. Blues, that band is dialed in tight on that record. I'd like to see him pick up something for this.
I was just looking for Albert Castilla on the list of nominees, and I don't see him. I see a lot of the names of folks that we've played and we've celebrated. I think Lucky Peterson's You Can Always Turn Around would be a favorite in the nominees for Acoustic Album of the Year, although they've got a lot of competition there. Eric Bibb, Booker's Guitar. Mm-hmm. You've got the South Memphis String Band, Paul Osher, and the Nighthawks, no strangers to the blues, competing with Lucky on that one. Of course, Buddy Guy is back in the mix with Living Proof for Album of the Year, along with Charlie Musselwhite, Eden Brent, Janova Magnus, and the Manish Boys. Oh, lots and lots of great names on here.
Another one worth mentioning, I think, is Ronnie Earl. I noticed he's listed, I think, in the instrumentalist category. Wow, what a guitar player that guy is.
Yeah, we've been really digging on that last record of
Ronnie Earl's. Record is indeed a very good one. You know, he's largely an instrumentalist as he releases records because he's not a singer. He always assembles the very best musicians. And if you're looking for soulfulness in your musical presentations, it's pretty hard to beat that guy.
Similarly, Kenny Wayne Shepherd didn't sing for a long time on his albums and just only recently started singing. I've enjoyed watching him grow. He's so young. I think he was only about 16 or 17.
That's correct.
When he put out his first CD and had another person singing for him, but just such a phenomenal player. In fact, my daughter believes that he wrote Voodoo Child, yeah, because he did such a great job of covering that. And also with the songs that he's written on his own, I've really enjoyed watching him grow and watching him grow as a performer and collaborating with a lot of other musicians as well.
His 10 days out on the road thing that he did where he stopped off and made arrangements to play with some notables along the way, that's a nice gesture, and the music doesn't suffer one bit.
Right.
Yeah, that was a pretty fantastic collection.
I agree.
And notable as well, because a lot of the passings of the artists in the time frame immediately after it was released. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot of last great performances from the likes of Etta Baker, and there's quite a few big names on there that passed away.
I'm very pleased to see the women that have been nominated. Candy Kane, I don't know if you've ever seen her performance before, but my goodness, she is a powerhouse of a woman, an incredible singer, and her songs are just fun and lively, and she does a lot of touring outside the U.S. as well, probably more so than here in the U.S., and I'd love to see her more often and come through this area more. Shamika Copeland, a tireless performer, Johnny Copeland's daughter, her new new CD has a very different sound to it in comparison to what she's done in the past. Very pleased with that, enjoying that. And, of course, Robin Rogers with her recent passing. And Irma Thomas, I'm a big fan of Irma Thomas as well. Happy to see her nominated also.
Now, recently we had big-time Grammy nominees like Steve Miller and Cyndi Lauper get a lot of acclaim, but I don't see any other names on these nominee lists.
No, I don't think that's any accident, personally. I like the new Steve Miller record, and of course he's always been rooted in blues, but he's going to be best remembered for the Book of Dreams era, I think, in his recording and musical career. Obviously, very, very popular, and made a lot of bank on that. Saw him at the pre-jam this year. Don't underestimate his prowess as a guitar player and as a musician. He is quite an accomplished musician. Les Paul gave Steve Miller his first guitar. The record itself, getting back to that, I think it's a little bit on the overproduced side for me. I'm glad to see him pick up a couple Jimmy Vaughn songs to do on there. That's pretty cool. The Cyndi Lauper record, I can't really comment on that one too much because I just stayed away from it simply because of where it came from. I hate to admit that, but I did it. What do you think about it, Jay?
Well, there's got to be that hurdle of like, excuse me, this is Cyndi Lauper doing a blues record. But you get into it, and she's got all of these players, you know, alongside, I guess, to help maybe lend a little credibility. It didn't hurt the songs, that's
right.
For sure. And it's not bad, really. But you wonder, is this one of those cases of, you know, a little bit of star power coming down to sort of shine a little bit bigger spotlight on blues music? Does it help blues music in popularity?
I don't think it hurts it at all. I think any time America's greatest musical genre, at least in my opinion, I mean, some of America's greatest artists have been blues men and women. As long as that genre has an opportunity to cut a wider swath culturally, I'm all for it. Cyndi Lauper notwithstanding.
I'm all for it. I mean, I've come to know a lot of different genres that I wouldn't have been into otherwise if Elvis Costello hadn't, you know, kind of experimented in them, so... You know, I'm sure it works the same for Cyndi Lauper and whoever else you might.
You know, it's hard to do American popular music per se without having some nod or deference given to blues music. It's just really hard to pull that away from the largest offerings of American popular music over the last 100 years. It's an incredibly important art form. And one of the reasons it is because it speaks to us at so many different levels. I think blues music probably does as well as any other genre at giving us a chance to validate our own experiences. Because there's a commonality that's expressed there, which is universal for the most part. I mean, everybody understands love and rejection. And, of course, those are popular topics in other musical genres as well. I don't think it gets much more visceral, though, than it does with blues music. Unless, of course, you tend toward the more angst-ridden musical forms like punk and things of that nature. But blues is an incredibly important aspect of how we perceive ourselves over time, given the perspective of American popular music as a whole. Steve Miller, once again talking about that guy, has pulled together his blues influences and presented them in ways that may not seem necessarily at the outset or superficially looking at it, that doesn't seem like blues, but the deeper you dig, the more you see, well, you know what, that has got a nod to his influences there. And I can appreciate that anytime.
Surprisingly, you'll find blues in a lot of music, including other genres as well, where Led Zeppelin was obviously very heavily influenced by blues, Aerosmith, and often I'm, even on Facebook, someone posted Train Kept Rollin'. Well, That was Aerosmith, right? No, it wasn't. It's an old blues song, great song. And, you know, I'm always getting surprised by hearing something that I believe was a newer song and finding how far back it reached. And while a band may think that their influences don't come from the blues, when they reach a little deeper into to who did influence them, they might find that they, in fact, did, were heavily influenced by the blues.
We've got the blues today on WNCW's What It Is. Blues.org is the Blues Foundation's website, and the 2011 Blues Music Award nominees announced ahead of the May 5th award ceremony. What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org, and we'll highlight your comments on our Friday version of the show. For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Steve Blanton, Sean Williams, and Renee Denton. Until next time.